up next we have Fritzi Rivas on the absorption and desorption of BPA, EE2, and 4NP by alluvial soils in Iowa.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. So getting to know more about BPA, as what our last speaker have talked about. So my presentation is on the adsorption and desorption of bisphenol A, 17-alpha ethanol estradiol, and 4-nonylphenol by alluvial soils in Iowa. So these compounds, as you have probably recognized, they belong to a group of chemicals known as endocrine disrupting chemicals, or EDCs. And as the name suggests, these compounds have the potential to disrupt the endocrine systems. And because of that, they are known to be harmful to humans and animals. And what's even more concerning is that, and shown in other studies, that even at very low concentrations, these compounds deemed to be detrimental. So you might probably seen this diagram many times already this week. And this is just showing the possible route of entry of these endocrine disrupting chemicals into the environment. So one possible of entry is through wastewater treatment plants, and it could be discharged into the environment through land application of biosolid and wastewater effluent discharge. And also other sources would be coming from residential, industrial, and agricultural areas. And whether these compounds may be going into the soil or into the water, they all undergo a process that will make them either immobile in the soil by sorption, or they could be mobile into the soil by desorption, runoff, and leaching. And also, these compounds could probably be disappear, or I say the parent material are no longer detectable if they could be photodegraded. They volatilize, they dissipate, or they could transform into metabolites. So, as mentioned, one of the processes that's important for the fate of endocrine disrupting chemicals is adsorption and desorption. And this process is commonly utilized as a tool to better understand the retention of these compounds to a sorbent. And for this study, we may think of the soil as the sorbent, and if you could remember the three big primary constituents of the soil, we have the oxides, silicates, and soil organic matter, and the general rule of thumb of likes dissolves like is usually what we use for prediction. For example, hydrophilic compounds would interact to the soil water by hydrogen bonding, and polar organic compounds by because of their charge may interact with clay minerals. And of course, some of the compounds that are relatively hydrophobic would partition into the relatively hydrophobic components of dissolved organic matter. And so thinking about the process of the adsorption and desorption, you could say that the properties of the sorbent, in this case the soil, is really important. But also the property of the chemical is also as much as important. And it's commonly used for prediction is the property of chemicals such as the octanol water partition coefficient and water solubility, as well as the pKa of the compound and the molecular weight. And of course, looking at the whole system, what matters are also like the pH, the presence of dissolved organic matter, and the presence of other compounds, and also include in there ionic strength of the solution. And getting to know more about the compounds that I used in this study. So endocrine disrupting chemicals, as you have known, there are thousands of them out there. And But we only selected three for this study because they are commonly detected in wastewater effluents and other monitoring studies. The first compound is bisphenol A. And bisphenol A is a monomer of a polycarbonate, which is used for clear plastics, which we use mostly for drinking water. And it's also used for epoxy resin to line the metal of the cans. And also it's used in thermal paper for receipts and the production of CDs. And these are the chemical properties of bisphenol A. So it has a molecular weight of 228 grams per mole. And among the three compounds that I will mention here, BPA is the most water soluble. And as same with the other two compounds, BPA is relatively hydrophobic and it will remain uncharged at environmental pH. And the second compound that we're interested in is 17-alpha ethanyl estradiol. And this is a major component in birth control pills. And we did study on the monitoring of this compound and water, and we detected a lot of this during the 6 months of monitoring. And this compound, same with the other two compounds, are relatively hydrophobic and they remain uncharged but at environmental pHs. And the next compound is the nonylphenol. Nonylphenol is commonly used surfactant. You can find this in paints and household cleaners and detergents and also pesticides. And among the three compounds, nonylphenol is the least water-soluble and the most nonpolar. And also, it remains uncharged at environmental pHs. So the research objectives and hypothesis for this study is to evaluate adsorption and desorption behavior of these three endocrine-disrupting chemicals by conducting a batch adsorption experiment and model fitting, because we hypothesize that the degree to which these compounds are adsorbed and desorbed is determined by the chemical and the physical properties of both the compound and then the soil used. So the soils used in this experiment belong to the Hanlon and Suk series. Contrasting the two soils, the Suk would have a higher percent carbon, less percent sand, and more extractable ammonium oxalate and citrate bicarbonate iron. And for both soils, they both have pHs at around 7. And going to the methods, so we prepared 50 ml glass tubes with Teflon-lined screw caps. And for the adsorption experiment, we prepared 1:40 ratio, or 1 gram of soil to 40 ml of solution. And we prepared a calibrating solution from 0 to 2 milligrams per liter. And the samples were shaken for 36 hours in the dark and further processed and analyzed immediately. And for the desorption, after the adsorption, after the removal of the supernatant from the adsorption process, desorption starts by adding fresh, like a background solution that will make up the original 1:40 ratio. And samples were shaken in the dark for 36 hours. And further process would include a centrifuging, separation of the supernatant, concentration and cleanup using the SPE, and analysis using the liquid chromatography mass spectrometry in negative ionization mode. And just to mention, the background solution that we used is 0.005 molar calcium fluoride, and we added a 0.005 molar sodium azide as microbial inhibitor. And during the sorption, the pH was maintained at 7. So just to give you an idea of what we did with the results, with the data that we gathered, so from the data, we created an adsorption isotherm, and you probably know this very well. So adsorption isotherm, we have in the x-axis would be the the solution concentration in milligrams per liter, and then the y-axis would be the sorb concentration in milligrams per kilogram. And this is example from the data that we collected. And once we established the isotherm, we used the model. And the model that we use is a three-parameter, the Langmuir-Freundlich combination. And the three parameters that we're interested in are the maximum adsorption capacity, the Q max, the K, which is the affinity constant, and the N, which is the index of heterogeneity. Also, what we did with the desorption data, we used a equation from Wang and others, and we used this to determine the hysteresis index. But what they did, this is just a relative hysteresis index for a single cycle sorption. So we have four concentrations, and this arrow here would represent a single desorption cycle. And for each concentration, we have a relative hysteresis index. So going to the results, this figure shows the sorption isotherm comparing the sorption of bisphenol A to Hanlon and Zook soils. And you can see from the experimental data that for Zook, it absorbed higher than the Hanlon. And going into the model fitting, the correlation seemed to be pretty good with R squared of greater than 0.99. But because the N value, it shows that Zook is more nonlinear. In the prediction of the Q max or the absorption capacity, Hanlon showed much higher adsorption capacity. And the affinity constant showed to have Zook to be higher, have higher affinity than Hanlon. And the hysteresis index, in general, looking at the hysteresis index, there's not much desorption happened. But comparing the two closely, we could see that the Zook soil is desorbing more. And only at the higher concentrations that we could see that desorption has increased. Now, looking at the data for the sorption of EE2 to Hanlon and Zook soil, for the Hanlon soil, we could see that there is a steep, very steep sorption at the lower end of the concentration range, and then it gradually increases. Well, the EE2 soup shows like an S-curve, and actually in most studies, sorption of hydrophobic compounds to soil shows like an S-curve. So for EE2 soup, there's a very gradual sorption at the lower end, then it started to increase in the middle, and it doesn't seem to be leveling off yet. But modeling the data, For the EE2 Hanlon, we had the difficulty the most. We could only get an R squared of 0.95 for EE2 Hanlon. But for the modeling for EE2 Zook, we had a good correlation. And showing the hysteresis index for all the same trend with the bisphenol A. There's not much desorption for the four concentrations, but for the higher concentrations of 1 to 2 milligrams per liter, we see the difference between the two. And for the Hanlon, we could see that there's a strong sorption. For the Zook, it's just the slope is very steep. It's just sorbing really high from all the range. And while for NP Hanlon, it's also showed a strong sorption, but it's relative to Zook, it's gradually increasing and leveling off. But this result, we're trying to figure out, because it's really high, the sorption is about 80 milligrams per kilogram. So we need to do our mass balance and try to extract some tried to extract the compound and the soil, and we found out that only 9 to 10% was accounted from the initial concentration sorb. And the hysteresis index, it showed that there's not much desorption that's going on. And you can see the three parameters here, they're really high. So this is just grouping the data into the soil. So I'll just need to compare EE2 and BPA, and we could see that for Hanlon and Zook, they showed differently, but for EE2, it showed to have a higher sorption than a BPA. So some summary and conclusion, that the isotherms generated for the three compounds to the soil showed nonlinearity. And in general, considering the whole range of concentration, there are more adsorption of EDCs to Zook soil than the Hanlon soil, and which could suggest hydrophobic partitioning of the soil organic matter plays a role. And the three-parameter Langmuir model seems to fit better with R-squared of greater than 0.99, except for the EE2 Hanlon. And the K and N values determined from the model showed that, of course, the 4NP, the affinity was really high, and then EE2 and BPA, and the N values are greater than 1 or less than 1, which shows a heterogeneity of the sorption sites. And the single cycle sorption hysteresis index provided a good insight on the degree of retention and was also correlated with the K values generated with the model. And with that, I say that there's still a long road ahead of us in terms of fully understanding these compounds and their sorption in soil, but we just need to keep on going. And I need to acknowledge my department, the Department of Agronomy of Iowa State University, and some funding agencies, the U.S.-Israel Binational Agricultural Research Development, the Iowa Water Environment Association, and the Metabolomics Laboratory for allowing me to use their LCMS. And thank you very much, and that's all.